Welcome to episode 80 of the podcast. This time I'll be focusing on classic science fiction, specifically the anthology Space Worlds, Stories of Life in the Void, published in 2021 and edited by Mike Ashley. Science Fiction Classics is a series of anthologies and books of republished fiction produced by the British Library and edited by Mike Ashley. Each of the anthologies focuses on a specific recurrent topic in science fiction and includes a mix of well-known and rediscovered stories. Published in 2021, Space Worlds collects fiction dealing with life inside space habitats of various kinds. Starships, stations, generation ships, and even a space shield. The 9 stories cover a relatively short period of science fiction history, from 1940 to 1967. Note that I've omitted one of the stories, The Ship Who Sang by Anne McCaffrey, because I've read it previously and didn't reread it. The anthology kicks off with Umbrella in the Sky by E.C. Tubb, originally published in Science Fiction Adventures in January 1961. The prolific writer, Edwin Charles Tubb, who lived from 1919 to 2010, is best known for his lengthy Doomerest saga, which ran to 33 novels between 1967 and 2008. Even by 1961, though, he was an experienced author who'd published dozens of short stories in various magazines. Umbrella in the Sky is a fairly strong opener for the anthology, focusing on the construction of a space shield designed to protect Earth from a catastrophic solar flare. Perhaps Parasol in the Sky would have been a more apt title. The first-person protagonist, Mike Levine, is brought in to troubleshoot the shield project. Construction has fallen behind, and further delays could doom the human race. The story takes a psychological bent, as Levine investigates the effects that the dangerous work is having on its zero-G technicians. Umbrella in the Sky is also intriguing for what it implies about the state of Earth in its future setting. Levine is a former professional quarry, seemingly as part of some kind of sanctioned human blood sport. The second story is Sail 25 by Jack Vance, originally published in Amazing Stories in August 1962. This story was originally published under the meaningless title Gateway to Strangeness, so the alteration here is a welcome one. Jack Vance, who lived from 1916 to 2013, is often most associated with his Dying Earth series, but by the 1960s he was moving into panoramic, far future stories. Sail 25 is on a modest scale by comparison, focusing on a group of rookie astronauts. They are compelled to crew an antiquated spaceship powered by a solar sail, on a kind of shakedown training cruise. They are guided, in the loosest sense of the term, by an experienced but drunken and cantankerous veteran named Henry Belt. This character is a brilliant comic creation by Vance, one which lifts the story tremendously with his dialogue. Quote, "Whatever is meant by this barbaric jargon, I'm sure I don't know, Mr. von Gluck. It is clear that you fancy yourself a philosopher and a dialectician. I will not fault this, so long as your remarks contain no overtones of malice or insolence, to which I am extremely sensitive." The rookies are much less interesting, but the dilemmas they must face to get home alive, combined with Henry Belt's irascible personality, keep Sail 25 engaging right to the end. A great story. Thirdly, there is The Longest Voyage by Richard C. Meredith, originally published in Fantastic in September 1967. This story was my first encounter with Richard C. Meredith, who lived from 1937 to 1979. Rather a tragic figure in that he died of a brain hemorrhage when he was just 41. The Longest Voyage is an essentially straightforward survival story, but executed to a very high standard. The main character, astronaut Scott Sayers, is the lone survivor of a disastrous space mission. Every one of the other crew members has been killed, and Sayers is trapped on a severely damaged spacecraft with seemingly no chance of rescue. In this sense, the story resembles a kind of prototype for The Martian. In its believable but harrowing depiction of astronauts, it also brings to mind the 1972 novel Beyond Apollo by Barry Maltzberg. A O'Mara's Orphan by James White, originally published in New Worlds SF in January 1960. Northern Irish SF fan and author James White, who lived from 1928 to 1999, carved an unusual niche for himself in the 1960s with a series of stories focusing on medical crises in space. This story is a fairly early example, and was later reworked into a segment of his collection Hospital Station in 1962. In the story, a crew member aboard that hospital station is compelled to look after an orphaned alien with very specific needs. This central plot is less interesting than the backdrop of human-alien cooperation, which is only glimpsed here. White's commitment to a fairly novel idea is admirable, especially one which isn't about violent conflict, but the story arguably outstays its welcome. Next is Ultima Thule by Eric Frank Russell, originally published in Astounding Science Fiction in October 1951. British writer Eric Frank Russell, who lived from 1905 to 1978, was a favourite of legendary SF editor John W. Campbell, and for that reason his stories appeared frequently in Astounding Science Fiction. Ultima Thule concerns a small crew of a starship which emerges from hyperspace and discover, to their horror, that they've travelled so vastly far that they have exited the universe. Understandably, this news does not sit well with the astronauts, and so tempers and psyches soon begin to fray. The real strength of Russell's story is the way that he describes the scene of total nothingness. Quote, "And still the impenetrable dark outside, thick, cloying, the dark that has never known light or life." The Voyage That Lasted 600 Years by Don Wilcox, originally published in Amazing Stories in October 1940. This story by Don Wilcox, who lived from 1905 to 2000, is the oldest in this collection, and it definitely shows. As editor Mike Ashley points out in his introduction, The Voyage That Lasted 600 Years was the first, quote, full-blown Generation Starship story. That makes it very historically significant, as Generation Starships have become a major feature of science fiction over the years. As historic as Wilcox's trend-setting story is, it's not an easy read. It has much the sort of gee-whiz tone that's expected of a story from 1940, and its basic plot will seem ludicrous to modern readers. The main character is entrusted with the task of travelling aboard a Generation ship in order to preserve knowledge of civilization. While the other crew live, breed, and die in real time, our hero travels in cryonic suspension and only wakes every 100 years. At the start of the story, the ship is infiltrated but not one, but two stowaways, which raises serious questions about the security of the launch facility. Survival Ship by Judith Merrill, originally published in Worlds Beyond in January 1951. The shortest story in the anthology, Survival Ship, is set on a Generation Starship, literally called Survival, which has just begun a lengthy mission. The tale is well written, and in just a few pages, Judith Merrill, who lived from 1923 to 1997, sets up the basic premise. The issue is that the story is heavily dependent on a twist ending of sorts. The revelation may have taken readers by surprise in 1951, but it will be highly predictable for today's readers, which significantly undermines the effect. Again, as with the previous story, this one is more of historical interest than anything else, particularly in terms of what it says about the social mores of the early 1950s. Worlds Beyond was a very short-lived publication, which ran for only three issues in 1950 and 1951. Finally, there is Lungfish by John Brunner, originally published in Science Fantasy in December 1957. Happily, interest in the fascinating British writer John Brunner, who lived from 1934 to 1995, has been undergoing a bit of a revival in recent years. Much of the attention on him focuses on his novels, which is understandable because they're the easiest parts of his work to access. He also wrote numerous short stories, including this fairly early one published when he was just 23. Lungfish is another Generation ship story, but it's unusual in that it focuses on just two generations. The older generation, the Earthborn, were on board the ship when it embarked on its mission and are supposed to return to Earth on it. The younger generation, the Tripborn, were born on board the vessel and have never known planetary life. Brenner's focus is squarely on the development of tensions between these generations, caused by the Tripborn's refusal to take up the future planned for them, to colonise a new world. Brenner's emphasis on psychology and generational conflict lifts Lungfish above the rank and file of Generation Ship stories. It's one of the strongest entries in this anthology, and could have been the basis for a novel. Space Worlds is an impressively varied collection of deep space tales, albeit something of a mixed bag. For me, Sail 25 is easily the standout story here, while The Longest Voyage and Lungfish make for strong runners-up. For more coverage of classic science fiction, visit my site at andyjohnson.xyz, where you'll find writing about works by Arthur C. Clarke, Ursula K. Le Guin, Alan Dean Foster, Harry Harrison, and more. Thanks for listening to this episode. You can find more of my writing in text and audio form at my site andyjohnson.xyz. You can also find me on Twitter at andyjohnsonuk, and you can support me at patreon.com/andyjohnson. Catch you next time.